and still we go on. United! Tranmere are going up! Mellon's mission accomplished!
Oh, what a goal! Nick Henry, who scored a fantastic goal to beat West Ham in the FA Cup, has done it again for John Aldridge's team. What a start for Tranmere!
Swinging free kick and a chance here for Kelly. He scored!
David Kelly! Tranmere a level against all the odds!
Jennings. There's the cross forwards! In! In for Tranmere! James Forward! What a joy for Tranmere Rovers! Inside the final 10 minutes! What an effort from the Tranmere! It might just be enough to take them back to the promised land of the Football League!
This is Buxton, away from Backinson. This is Pringle, now Caprice. Caprice with the cross, the header, it's in! It's Connor Jennings! Tranmere Rovers, whose double dip led to their world caving in, could be getting back to where they were in double quick time.
Right then, folks, welcome back once again to the This Is Tranmere podcast. My name is Matt Hibbert. How are we doing? What's happening, lizards? And I'm joined by only one half of the illustrious This Is Tranmere podcast panel. Once again, Jake Keogh is otherwise engaged. Can't legally say what he's done this time, can we, Paul? But big Hollywood himself, big PH, Paul Harper's here. Paul, how are we?
Yeah, I'm good, Matthew. Not too bad.
A good festive period.
Oh, yeah. Four wins out of four, isn't it?
No, I meant for you. Did you win four games of bowls, did you?
No. Definitely not.
You need like a Robbie Apter bowl, like who could come in for your bowls team, like a Rob Apter type, just to turn it round.
To be honest.
Me, I could come in, Paul. I played a few games on Tixor when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was a dab hand.
had a decent Christmas with the family and that, just quiet. See my mum and dad and stuff. So yeah, all good. How about you?
Yeah, again, quite quiet. You know, went up to Tasha's parents for Christmas Day up in Lytham. Nice there. Pricey nice. Though, the pub. Went to the pub, pricey pub. I'm used to Oxton prices, but this was another level. But nice, do you know what I mean? But I mean, the main thing is what we're here to talk about and what people are here to listen to us talk about, hopefully, is the Rovers over Christmas. Unprecedented. Never before. By all accounts, either was it. We've never taken, I swear we have, but like apparently we haven't. We've never taken maximum points. Basically a 1-4-7 break or a 9-0, wasn't it, over Christmas? And this was it, 4 out of 4. I think the closest we got was the 2017-18 season, where we were flying, we were the form team in Europe, and then we got thumped by Fylde on New Year's Day. One of the worst days of my life, I'll say that was. Why did I go to that game? It takes a lot, Paul. This is the thing for me. On New Year's Day, I've just done 9 hours. I've done 9 till 6 a.m. So I normally get in about... I'll have a drink after and have a little chill. So I normally get home about, like, say, 9 o'clock. So I'm getting in at 9. Okay. So if I'm getting up, even the home game, if I'm getting up on New Year's Day, part of me was like, me Mrs. Tasha was like, just watch it. Watch it on iFollow. Just use a VPN or whatever. I think it was available, wasn't it, because it was New Year's Day. Just watch it. And I was like, nah. I felt they've earned the right for me to power through these boys. Do you know what I mean? I was like, we've won three on the bounce here over Christmas. I need to power through just like they have. And I'm glad I got up and went to that Notts County game on Saturday, because we'll get to that in a bit, Paul. But like, one of the best games of football I've seen from both sides in a long, long time, certainly in this division. But I mean, if we go back to just the game before Christmas, Saturday 23rd, the Swindon game, wasn't a great game. Probably our worst performance over Christmas, Paul, wasn't it? But going behind, and that was a real, we ground that out, didn't we? It was a real, you know, the football wasn't great, but we got the result, and that kicked us off, didn't it, to a great Christmas?
Yeah, I think sometimes that's all you need, isn't it? Just ground out, a narrow victory. About playing your best, and sometimes that's the kind of impetus you need to go on a little run like we have. And yeah, we've come from behind a couple of times now, so we put that
three times in a row, Paul. Our last three home games.
Yeah, so we've got that monkey off the back, and obviously winning away from home. We've done that, two on the bounce as well. So yeah, no, really, really pleased with how things are going since Adkins took over. Obviously, we haven't recorded since, we recorded just after he was permanently appointed. And things have obviously taken a positive turn. Long may that continue.
I don't think any of us could have foreseen the upturn in form from when he's got the job permanently. Since he's took the job permanently, we're top of the form table. Now, after the result on Saturday, where it was us and Barrow, but Barrow got turned over, didn't they, by Wrexham? So we're clear at the top of the form table over the last, I think it's 9 games, might be 10 games.
10 games, yeah.
Yeah, is it 7 wins, 2 draws, 1 defeat, I think?
Yeah, yeah.
And that defeat was at Walsall, and, on another day, we didn't deserve to lose that game. We might not deserve to win it, but the main thing for me, Paul, is it's the performances. And what I've said all season, what we've said all season, is I never thought this was a bad squad. I certainly never thought that there was not the starting 11 when people were fit wasn't good enough for certainly, we were bottom of the league at one point. Do you know what I mean? It was a disgrace. And you're seeing it now. Like Walker, I know he got the knock on Boxing Day, and, he only managed half against Harrogate and then didn't play against Notts County. But Reece McClear's come in, and I've always liked him. He's a footballer. And he seems a bit of a character too. He's Scottish, so that helps, doesn't it? There's not many Scottish people that aren't characters, but he's come in. I thought he was outstanding second half against Harrogate, and I thought he was brilliant again against Notts County. He's a big lad. He's a footballer. And that's what, same as Walker. Walker's not tall, but he's tough. He's that guy you need in midfield alongside your Hendry. And we've always said there was a footballer there in Regan Hendry. And obviously, alongside now with McClear and Walker over the last 7 or 8 games, we've seen him flourish. The whole team's flourished, haven't they, Paul? I mean, that 11 now, even the one, and bear in mind, the team that started against Notts County, Paul, was without Luke Norris, Christian Dennis, Brad Walker, and Connor Wood. Four, people who you would have thought would be, they're all first names on the team sheet, wouldn't you, really, when you look at the squad, starting players. And I was saying, are we a bit bare bones here, that team against Notts County? But in the first half, you look at it with four first teamers out. You looked at the bench, and it was a little bit, well, you're going to be if your two main strikers are injured, aren't you? But do you deserve a special mention for me, Norris? Because I watched the Johnson's Paint game where he got subbed after 40 minutes against Fleetwood back in September, I think, when we were, as bad as we were. And he looked like had no shot, no chance, but he was playing in a very poor team with no confidence, with a very, very poor manager. He's come in there, second half against Harrogate, like McClear, and been unbelievable. And I thought, I think he won man of the match, didn't he, on Saturday. He was outstanding. He was outstanding. And again, he's a footballer. Every single one of these players in this team now is a footballer. And you stick a load of good footballers. Look at Kieran Morris. We always knew he was a footballer. And with good players around him, look how good. He's as good as he's ever been. It's probably in the best form he's ever been for us. And he's had some great spells. I just look at us now and I think, obviously, we'll get to the after thing in a little bit and discuss that, because that is a massive blow. But there's no reason we can't push it. I'm not expecting playoffs. I know I did a little joke tweet about it after, I think, the Swindon game. But there's no reason we can't push on here, Paul, can we, and have a real strong second half of the season? Put it this way, for the first time in a long time, if I was any other team in this division, Paul, I wouldn't want to be playing us. And previously, I'd always think if I was any team in the division, you'd go, when are we playing Tranmere? Get that 3 points in the bag. You really wouldn't want to play us at the minute, would you?
Well, you know what they say about these long unbeaten runs. They always come to an end soon. So
yeah, here we are.
Yeah. No, like you say, you know, like some of these players, like Abson himself, really, you know, had to bide his time. But when he comes into a team that's got a bit of confidence, they're flourishing. And like you say, McClure, James Norris, and a couple of others who have come in and have done really well. I think that's, you know, the confidence breeds confidence, doesn't it? And
I'm sure it speaks to the group, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure standards are, you know, are high throughout training, because the lads who aren't playing want to be playing, because it's, you know, you're winning week in, week out, as we have been doing over the last few weeks. I'm sure confidence is high and spirits are high within the group. So yeah, can only be positive. Obviously, you know, you don't want to be losing as many as four or five your regulars off the team sheet, but if people are stepping up to the plate and coming in and replacing them and doing a good job, then that's, you know, speaks volumes and for the squad as a whole. So yeah, credit to Nigel Adkins. I've got to be honest, didn't see this happening 2 months ago.
No,
but really glad it has. And like you say, a couple of things that have gone on over the last couple of days and stuff that might put us off track a little bit, but as I've just said, you know, momentum is there, confidence is high, players are all playing well, the lads that are coming on are doing a good job as well, so you've got 15, 16, 17 players there waiting for their opportunity to shine, and when they're on the pitch they've been doing the business. So yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, you look at the team that we got out there at the minute, and it's, you know, we really have played some good football. We go back to the Boxing Day. I mean, we'd come from behind to beat Newport. We came from behind to beat Swindon. So that was that monkey off our backs. The last one there was the away win. I think it was 25 games, wasn't it, in all competitions without a win. Some people said, oh, but we beat Barnsley on penalties in the League Cup. I went, no, I'm not counting that. I'm talking a win over 90 minutes, especially in a league game. And what a way to do it. And again, it didn't flatter us, that 5-1 at Salford. And I know that they've got real injury problems, and you know, they sat their manager after it and they were in poor form. But it doesn't change the fact that, you know, we hadn't won away for, it was Stevenage, wasn't it, back in February or March, early March was the last time we'd won. And that wasn't a good performance. This was, we went there, we were by far the better side. They had a tiny spell where they got that goal back, and then McGee made a fantastic save from Smith when he swiveled. It was, you know, posted all the socials, a brilliant save, and he's been fantastic all season. But 5-1, it could have been a lot more. You saw Saunders could have had a hat trick. He scores his hardest chance. You know, goals from all over the pitch. You know, Morris gets a goal, Jennings gets a goal, Hendry gets a goal, Hawks comes off the bench, McClure sets him up, both off the bench. That was, if we're going to look back, I think, in the seasons, who knows where it'll end and where we'll finish. But in terms of like the turning point, that has to be thought about as one, doesn't it? Because that had been coming for a couple of away games, that performance, because we'd been getting better and better. And then the Harrogate game, you know, they were in good form. They were in real good form. And their home form was really good. And I think we rode our luck a little bit at Harrogate, much more so than we did at Salford. You know, there was a couple, they had that chance early on where that fella gets, it was a great ball in the box, and he gets his studs on it and just goes wide. And we went good first half, and the conditions were appalling. It was terrible wind, terrible rain in the second half. But we came out second half, and again, it's one of them where we didn't have a good first half. And you think, what's going to happen second half? I thought we bossed the second half. Again, they had a couple of little chances, half chances. But 2-0 win, textbook 2-0 away win. Can we make it 3, Paul? On Saturday, probably one of, well, I think it is, they've got the best home record in the division, other than Mansfield maybe. But we went to Mansfield and got a point, didn't we? So probably should have won that game. Barrow on Saturday, Paul, is, we'll get to the Notts County game, that deserves its own little segment. But Barrow away on Saturday, never an easy place to go. We always seem to play them in like the depths of the winter away from home, whether it be December or January or February, where the weather's horrendous. They've just been turned over by Wrexham at home. Actually, no, that was away, wasn't it? It was at Wrexham. What do you think then, Paul? A real, real tough place to go. They've got a really good manager. I'm a big fan of Wilde. And they're flying this season. And they did us on the opening day. Confident we can go and get a result even without APTA?
It's going to be interesting to see what changes. You know, obviously APTA's been a big part of, particularly of attacking prowess going forward.
Yeah.
Over the past few weeks. It's going to be interesting because we almost certainly don't have a like-for-like replacement currently in the squad, unless obviously somebody comes in the next however many hours.
Unlikely, isn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what tactical changes are made, what personnel changes are going to be made. As you say, Barrow in good form, good side. It's a horrible place to go just because it's not the nicest ground, is it really? Let's be honest. The changing rooms aren't the best, unless they've had a massive refurb since I was last there. It's gonna be tough. They're in good form, but with confidence high, and that word that we keep using that is so important in football, momentum.
Huge.
You know, anything can happen, and you know the boys are confident. I'm sure they'll be raring to go Saturday afternoon. So, yeah, let's have it.
The mood in the camp, Paul, and it can't be understated, is fantastic, as you can imagine. And I'll say this, right. When Adkins was appointed permanent, I wasn't a huge proponent of it because he hadn't had much success since the Scunthorpe-Southampton days, and I was quite critical of him. I'm more than happy to eat my words, Paul. He was exactly what we needed. Sometimes in life, do these really, you know, like super happy, enthusiastic people can get a bit grating, can't they? Especially if you're having a bit of, you know, a tough time and, you know, you're a bit down and you're like, stop being so happy, just be realistic. But like, he's come in, the place is bouncing. We're selling out away games now. And we said this a few weeks ago, I said it doesn't take much for this fan base to just go, we're right back. You know, we never stopped this season, honestly never did. We never fully turned, which is insane considering what we were being served up and, you know, what was being said to us and stuff and that, just how we were performing on and off the pitch. But it's night and day now, isn't it? Look, we sold out Harrogate, we sold out Salford, and I'm pretty sure we've sold out the initial allocation to Barrow. We've been given more and we'll probably sell that out too. It's momentum can take you a long way. You know, you look at how we went up in 2019, 18, 19. That was pure momentum, wasn't it? Because we didn't have the best squad in the league, but we had a great manager and we had a great, you know, such a tight-knit squad. And that was one criticism we'd said since then, that we never felt we had a squad, did we, that was as together as that one. You're looking at this set of lads now and you look how they're reacting when we score at the end of games. There's a real belief, there's a real togetherness. They're all buying into this. Even players such as Turnbull, you know, a couple of months ago, we were like, get him out of the club. You're getting stupid red cards, making silly decisions. Just, you know, and now look at him. It's like night and day. And it's so refreshing. And I don't think any of us, I've said this several times already, I don't think any of us saw this coming, did we, or saw this happening. The turnaround has been so dramatic that it's almost shocking to look at. And I think, again, the rest of the division must be looking at those going, what the hell's happened there? What is going on? Because they would have been looking at when they were playing us a few months ago, going, yeah, when you do that thing where you look through and go, especially at like that Christmas period, teams have been going, okay, you know, we've got Tranmere at home. There's a game we can probably win. They haven't won away in X amount of time. Barrow probably. And now they'll be looking at Saturday going, we've got a fucking right game on our hands here. And they need a result. So it's exciting times, Paul, but sorry to bring a downer on this positive podcast, but we've got to talk about APTA and the current situation. There's Treacle comes and jumps up. She probably wants her say on it. She's a fellow left winger. Winger, aren't you, Treacle? He's been just... It's rare, isn't it, Paul, that you get a lone player, just a player in general who comes along who is just so clearly a cut above And it's not, you know, it's everything about him, his first touch, his pace, his final ball, his delivery. He's too good for this level, isn't he? We probably shouldn't be saying this because we want him back. So I'll edit it out where we say he's not good enough.
He's rubbish.
He's not good enough for League One. He's you know, yeah, he needs to come back and you know, learn his craft at this level. The last player who, you know, it's not just me saying this, and not just because he looks a little bit like him as well, is quite short, and he's not stocky, but do you know what I mean? He's not one of them little skin, like Sam Taylor's quite short, he's similar, but like his build, he's skinnier. He doesn't get pushed off the ball absolutely. He reminds me of Dale Jennings. The way he carries the ball, his close control. And you look at the Dale Jennings thing, I thought the world was his oyster. He made a couple of bad decisions, you know, he'll be the first to tell you that. You look at this after kid and you just think, you know, where can he be in 5 or 6 years' time? Because he's, isn't he, Paul? What are your thoughts on him? What a footballer.
Yeah, no, he's done incredibly well. Makes you think, well, how can't he get in the Blackpool team?
Yeah.
His impact has been incredible, really. It's kind of aligned with the upturn in form.
Yeah, it's not what a one-man thing, is he? But like, he really has been the catalyst.
Yeah, because I think he didn't really get much of an opportunity in the first couple of months of his loan.
Mental.
And then
absolutely mental.
Maybe he wasn't sort of. I know people kept going on. He can do an hour. He can do 70 minutes, whatever. And he's upped his fitness levels, and he's, you know, he showed that he can. You know, play a full 90. I think he's
they were too big size then, Paul.
Yeah. I think he's been instrumental in the upturn in results. And I say that because we've been creating so many chances, scoring a few more goals. He is the catalyst. Give him the ball. He's direct, he's pacey, he takes his man on, he's not afraid. You know, we often see, I can think of, you know, what's his name, Jennison Mary Williams, who knocked the hell out of me, you know, playing on the right and cutting in on the left-hand side. But this kid goes both ways.
Don't you dare, Paul, tarnish the name of young Robbie Apter by comparing him to Jennison Mary Williams. No, that's all he's got in the locker.
Yeah, but... Well, the comparison was a left footer playing on the right wing.
Yeah, a pacey guy.
This kid can go inside and get shots in. He can take it on the outside and get crosses in the box. His delivery has been, you know, first class. He's created so many opportunities. He gets us up the pitch in the space of seconds because he's so direct. And I do fear that we're going to really, really miss him. Because he has been instrumental in, you know, the positivity that is, and his enthusiasm as well. He's always looking for the ball. He always wants to be on the ball. And that enthusiasm and that sort of pace, and that's something that we really are missing throughout the squad. Somebody who can just give him the ball, he'll run 50 yards in 5 seconds. And I do worry how they're going to replace that. And like I said before, it's we haven't got a like-for-like replacement, so it's going to be something a bit different. And whether that fits into, you know, the positive work that's gone in over the last 6 to 8 weeks remains to be seen. But hopefully we can work out a formula that will carry on the momentum. But it is going to be a big miss, I think. And yeah, probably too good for Tranmere, let's be honest.
Well, you look at it, Paul, you look at who's probably going to come in from on Saturday, and it's our leading scorer from last year and our player of the year from last year, Josh Hawkes. And he obviously isn't the same type of player. He's obviously right-footed, but, you know, to be able to bring him in without, you know, do any transfer business, that is not a bad backup, is it, to be able to bring straight in?
No, not at all, by any means.
Yeah, like I say, he's not the same type of player, but Hawks can be. You'd like to think he's been watching Apter and go, look, because he's got a bit of pace about him, Hawks. There's no reason he can't do this. If you just get, this is the thing we've been saying for years, if you just get at that fullback, get him backtracking, get him running, No defender likes that. You know, just have a go at them. Worst case scenario is they put a foot in and tackle you. But you have a go. You get at them with pace. You get in behind them. And that's what we've been doing. It's not just that, Paul. And I can see the great interview on Radio Merseyside. I quote tweeted it yesterday, talking about Apter and how much they've improved his whole game as he's realised, look, it's not just about what you do going forward. It's about tracking back, you know, covering. And you look at the little partnership they've made, you know, on that right-hand side and with Leo Connor. And they've been brilliant together. There were some great ones on New Year's Day against Notts County where they, you know, battled back, especially when it was that lot, you know, the period when it was 3-2 going into injury time before we scored the fourth, where they won some great little tackles. They stopped the breaks down the left. They put the foot in. They won throw-ins. They won little 50-50s. And, yeah, it's just great. And do you know what? Like, the main thing is, he's loved it being here. He's loved it. If it was up to him, he'd be here until the end of the season, if not on a permanent. But unfortunately, you know, and this is the thing when you get loan players in. And the thing is, it's been that long since we've had someone genuinely great come on loan, isn't it? We've had a few good ones. Same, we'll do a little thing near the end, Paul. We'll ask people who are your favourite ever loan ones. Because I was thinking earlier, I've got a little list in my head of some of my favourite ever loan players. I think the plan all along, though, by all accounts, was similar to the O'Connor one. You know, where we get the guy on loan, but the plan is always to turn it permanent. But, like, he's been that good that it's sort of thrown a spanner in the wrench. Blackpool have gone, hang on a minute. Hang on. I think we've all been watching Blackpool results, haven't we? Like, hoping they win. Because, like, the better they do, the less chance they've got of coming in to get him back. But they play a wing-back thing, don't they? And I don't think he'd suit that. Again, I don't know if you've heard it, Paul. There's lots of things go around. The little bit I've heard is, we thought it was going to be extended till the end of the season. We didn't think there was going to be any trouble in that. There's a bit of confusion still about what his contract status is. Some people are saying he's out of contract in the summer, but there's an option. But this is where the confusion lies. Some people are saying the option is with him if he wants to stay. And then other people say it's the much more standard one where Blackpool have an option. And then I think, is it something in the middle where it'll be a case of maybe it'd be one of those sort of like appearance-based things, or maybe it's a promotion-based thing with your wages going up? I think that's got a factor in it, apparently. I mean, the one thing we know, Paul, is he can't play for another team this season, can he? He cannot play for another side in, like, this country. So stop. No, he can't. He's been registered to two teams. So if Stockport or Wrexham bought him, he couldn't play for them this season, apparently. That's the ruling. So they could sign him and loan him to us, but he couldn't play for them this season. Now, I don't know. I mean,
that doesn't sound right.
No, but apparently that is...
players have joined one team on loan, like, what's his name last year? The big centre-half, Simeu. He went somewhere else, didn't he, afterwards?
So he went to
strictly right.
No, but the thing is, Paul, he hadn't played for Southampton. Apter's played for Blackpool this year.
Right.
Yeah, he played for them in the League Cup, I think, for like 20 minutes. So I think that changes it, yeah. If you're registered to play, because I don't think Simeu was ever registered in a matchday squad.
Yeah.
It's difficult. I mean, like, it's hard for us to say. We don't know the finances, but, you know, if Blackpool say give us 100 grand for him, have we got that money? You know, is it worth us breaking the bank, so to speak, for one player? Because they'd want a big sell-on clause, wouldn't they? I mean, I imagine they'd want a 40-50% sell-on clause. Is it worth us going out and going, look, they want 200 grand. Can we get that from somewhere? You know, and the thing is, we know that wouldn't be paid. It's not like we just need to give them 200 grand. That's not how transfers work these days, is it? It's a... You know, can we get 200 grand? Is there that there from, I don't know, outside investment, whatever?
Sounds like a whip round in the in the body balance, isn't it?
Yeah, another Andy Robinson aid or whatever it is. you know, is it there? You know, is there any money from the Bristow sale? Do we try and sell Hawks? There was interest in the summer, wasn't there? League One interest, like Sir Carlisle, a couple of other clubs, and Port Vale were in for him. You know, do we try and do that? No, again, the problem is we don't know, do we? We don't know what Blackburn's stance is. We don't know what the situation is. We don't know. Apparently his agent's a bit of a divvy. It's one of them where you just hope that, you know, one day we wake up and there's a tweet from Tranmere announcing Robbie Apter on a 3.5-year contract, undisclosed fee, you know, big sell-on clause. Because, yeah, I just feel like with him in the team for the rest of the season, it gives us that real outside chance of, you know, nicking that seventh place on the last day of the season. Without him, I really don't think he offers that little bit of magic, doesn't he? That can just turn a game when you need it. But what would you do, Paul? It's all hypothetical, obviously, because we don't know the ins and outs and we don't know the financial situations. But how far would you be willing to think the club should go to try and get him either on loan for the rest of the season, if there's a loan fee involved, or try and get him on like a Leo Connor-style permanent deal? What would you do? Paul, this is it, Paul. You are the chairman, Paul. Here we go.
Yeah, sure, everyone would love that.
Can you pay me if we're alive first?
So, first thing to say is that he was a Tranmere player like 6-7 years ago.
So was Norris, wasn't he?
Yeah. Like we could have avoided all this and I'd been playing for us for 4 or 5 years before now.
Anyway, if we hadn't got relegated out of the Football League.
Another day. Sorry, your phone was disconnecting or something. I'm sure something's showing on Skype. Anyway, it's reconnected now.
Jesus Christ, Paul.
The thing is, right, is that we're still bottom half of the table. Do we break the bank for one player to hopefully sneak us into the playoffs? But what if we don't make the playoffs? Is it an investment worth making, or is it worth waiting until the summer? I don't know.
We don't know his contract status, do we? Is the problem?
The thing with waiting is you're always taking a big, there's always a big risk, isn't there? And that A, somebody else comes in, B, he does his ACL or something, and is out for a year, and, you know, other bits and bobs. But yeah, the problem is he's done too well. That Blackpool would look absolutely stupid at saying, oh yeah, you've got the best, most informed player in the division. The guy who Notts County manager said tore him apart and said he'd never seen anything like it in that division.
Yeah, and then he fucks off to Swansea. Shut up, mate. Keep your mouth shut.
But they would look foolish to just say, oh yeah, just keep him. Especially when they're not doing, you know, they're not pulling up trees themselves. So, yeah, I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. Matt is the answer to your question. I don't know whether we should, or whether it would be breaking the bank, or whether it would be, within the budget that the chairman has for the January window. But obviously, it would be great to get him in, either extend his loan till the end of the season, with the option of taking up a contract, a permanent deal at the end of the year, or just getting him on a permanent now. But yeah, terrific player. And
all right, Harry Redknapp,
going to be difficult to replace.
Yeah,
I don't see a great number of players like him around.
No, he's a bit of a throwback, isn't he?
Realistic targets. I mean,
yeah, there's that Kirk, isn't there? Charlie Kirk.
There's obviously going to be players who are, you know, pacey wingers, but I don't see anybody really like him who would probably fit within our budget that we could alternatively sign.
What, £4 a week?
Yeah, so I don't know. It's a difficult one, but like you said, Matt, I would see us struggling to make top 7 without him. because I do think he's made such a positive impact that he's, him leaving is going to leave a bit of a hole. But like we've also said, is that we've got the momentum, players are confident, Hawks to come in potentially. He's obviously something very different. I don't see him taking on his man and being as direct and as quick. But he does offer something a little bit different, and whether that would work with the you know, the with the other forward players around him, like Connor Jennings and you know, and the others in the front line at the moment. But yeah, we've not really answered the question, have we? Really, but
there is no answer.
Look, I have no answer.
Like, get, you know. Maybe just the ideal situation would be extend his loan. Do you know what I mean? I'd love him to sign permanent. And I hate the way these days, Paul, that I've said this a lot over, you know, the last like 10 years. Well, we haven't been doing this 10 years, but just the way it is now on our level, instead of when you go sign this guy, you know, we've got this guy, he signed a contract. You're not going, good, we've got him for 5 years. You're going, oh, that at least means we'll get some good money for him in 6 months. And it's bad that that's the way the game has gone. You, like back in like the 90s when you'd be like, oh, you know, I'm going to say Gary Bennett, no, but, you know, just one of our, oh, you know, Jeb Brannan signed a three-year deal in like 1992. And you'd be like, oh, that's good. That means we've got him for 3 years. A good player has signed. And if you sell him like we did to Man City in the end, good. Now it literally is a case of you want them to sign that permanent so you're guaranteeing that you'll get some money for them, you know, because clubs like us, players like him, you know, you're lucky if you get a season out of them, aren't you? If they're that good, because someone will come. If you get a season out of someone who's really a good player, especially a good young player at this level. I mean, we were lucky we got that Norse. Do you know what I mean? That season in the Football League, because normally people like that get, you know, just get poached. And as we saw, you know, he ended up going, and, you know, good luck to him. He's doing, you know, doing all right at Oldham now, isn't he? But do someone we should actually, we haven't even spoke about once. You just said his name there, Connor Jennings. What a guy. What on earth? Who would have saw this coming this year when we signed him back? Just signed an extension as well, hasn't he? I know that Aptus took a lot of the, you know, the headlines and the plaudits over the last 7 or 8 weeks. But at the end of the season, Paul, I don't care what happens from now to the end of the season, he has, I mean, McGee's going to be a contender as well. But like, he, for me, what he's done this season, especially when we were, you know, even when we were rock bottom of the league and just dying on our arse every week, getting smashed, he was standout performer every single week, and he never stopped. His standards never dropped. He's now above Norwood in Tranmere folklore for me, for what he's done this season and what he's continuing to do. And I need him to sign my Connor Jennings print, both of them, to be honest. So yeah. I don't know if anyone from the club listens, but what's the would I need to come down to the training ground? I don't live that far now, actually, do I? On the Liso. I need to get him. Down. Yeah, there's no security, is there? Probably just let me in. I come down with my Sharpie. I have to take it off my wall, actually. I've got two. I've got the, you've got the one, haven't you? The with the commentary line. Yeah. Looking at it now. Caprice with the cross, the header it's in. And I've got like the slightly, I haven't got the giant print as much as the one, because I'm not in that one. But I've got the one signed by Norse on my wall. I've got the slightly smaller Connor one. Yeah, but I'd like to, you know, now he's back. I always regretted not getting it signed when he was here. And I'm thinking, no, maybe I should get down and get it. So, yeah, if anyone at the club's listening who can facilitate this, even if I just come down, you know, like a nice easy one, get a little sign done. Maybe do a little pog with him. I wonder if we think we're, or we persona non grata.
No comments.
Oh God, Paul, what have you done now?
I've not done anything.
You dragging me down.
What you need to do is make one of those signs like the kids do.
Connor, can you sign
Connor,
my?
Will you sign my photo, please? You know, in Sharpie on a bit of you know, the back of your cornflake packet.
Yeah, I always think, that where did he get these big pieces of cardboard from to do it? It's not easy, like the works, them shops, but you have to buy like, I've tried making a sign before, Paul, it's not easy. My handwriting's not good. I once tried to do a Tranmere flag and write TRFC, and I wrote TFRC on it. Tranmere Football Rovers Club. And we got a photo with Jet from Gladiators with it. But that's a story for another day. So yeah, the Notts County game, New Year's Day. What a game of football. Paul, were you there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Two good sides. I mean, yeah. Obviously, I'm loath to say that we're a good side, but
it scares me saying it.
We're a side in good form.
Is that your way of getting around saying it?
Yeah, no, we're good. As good a team as you've seen probably in the last 10 years, maybe. I'm trying to think of another team who have just, other than Tottenham and Man United.
Forest Green, when they did us, were a good start.
Yeah, they did
us 4-0.
That's a good point. But yeah, not too many teams come and, you know, play really, really, really well. Against us and show that they're a bit of a class above, but they looked a really good side
for a good half hour in the first half, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the fact that we sort of we get ahead and then go behind, and we stuck at it, got a really important goal just before half time, and
it was huge
again. That's all important. And then second half, the guts, the determination, the
That's as well as we've played Paul in 10 years, that second half.
Yeah.
You saw how good a side they were in the first half, like we said. And I don't know what Atkins said or did second half. It seemed like there was a few minor little tweaks in how we played. And they couldn't cope with us. They really couldn't cope with us. And I can't remember them having a chance in the second half, to be honest. Yeah. I can't remember McGee making a save.
I think sometimes you've got to cancel out what they were doing well against us.
Yeah, they were stretching it. They get out wide, don't they, create overloads. Yeah.
And I think first half, obviously, you get ahead, you're buoyant, and then they have a spell, which they were always going to do, and obviously got a couple of goals in that spell. But I think, it's not easy to do, during the game as the game's going on, but at half-time you can spot these things, and obviously he'll have analysts and the video and everything.
The boffins.
Half-time.
The boffins. Yeah.
Kev Mulligan, shout out to him, who I believe is still doing his stuff, the performance analysis and stuff. He'll have all the data and, those little tweaks that you can make during the half-time break to cancel out what they were doing really well to us. Worth a treat, and a couple of goals could have been obviously more. Connor showing his cojones.
That's exactly what I said, Paul. I said
the first one, but stepping up to take the second one and making no mistake just shows the class of the guy, to be honest. And like you said, Matt, by far head and shoulders, despite the massive impact that Apto has made, by far the best player we've had all season long.
When he was stepping up to take that penalty, the second one, I just said to me, mate, look forward, I just said, one thing we know about Connor Jennings, he's got a big set of bollocks on him. And then we both went, he's just going to smash this down the middle, isn't he? I think like everyone other than their goalkeeper, I think, knew he's just smashing straight down the middle. And what a moment, what a game. I mean, I think it was nearly 8,000 there. Not a massive crowd, but it's a hell of an atmosphere. New Year's Day, we're in good form. They were in good form. They just smashed someone 5-0, and they think more come on the Saturday before. It was such a good game of football, and they are a really good side. You do worry a little bit for them now with Williams. It's just been announced officially. He's gone. He's took Ryan Harley, the whole backroom team, to Swansea. So you wonder, don't you? You wonder who's going to go in there. And their fans were all saying that their squad's just too thin. They said that they've got a real good side, but like they haven't got the strength. I like them. They're a proper football club, aren't they? They are. And they've had some real bad divvies running the club over the years. The oldest, they are the oldest football club, aren't they? Notts County, I think.
But Football League club, yeah.
Yeah, of Sheffield FC, isn't it? Is the oldest one. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, I wish them well. But if we can end up just, you know, leapfrogging them on the last day.
Yeah.
It's a lot to ask for. And again, you know, if you offered me 12th, if you offered me 15th a few months ago at the Tucky, I can't stress enough how good a game of football. They asked me to go on Radio Mayfair, actually. But I was at we had our staff Christmas party, and I was like, look, I could sneak off to the toilet maybe at 7 o'clock. It's probably not a good idea. It's been a while since we've had a game like that. Do you know where it's two good sides, both, you know, playing good football with good players. I really like that McGoldrick playing for them. He's a Notts County fan, isn't he? That's why he's dropped back down. He was just walking around the pitch, sort of just like running the, especially in that first half, he had that spell, just running the game. And I was fascinated by it. They had Bostock. He was almost playing as a sweeper for them in the first half. He was literally dropping behind the centre halves at times, picking the ball up. And I'm going to keep an eye on how he does Williams at Swansea, because he's another one of these young coaches, isn't he, coming through, where he's got a philosophy. This is how he wants to play. And there's no deviating from it. We are playing like this. It's good to watch. So, you know, I'm all for it. But, Paul, things are on the up. What do you think we should be looking to do then in the transfer window? You'd think, Paul, wouldn't you, that there's got to be a couple of people out on loan, if not PEMs, if it could be done. A couple of the young lads, maybe. And, you know, like we said, if it meant getting after him, would you get rid of Hawks? I think we'd all say, yeah, that's nothing against Josh Hawks. You know, there's the likes of Lewis there who, I mean, I forgot he existed. Do you know what I mean?
He scored a wonder goal in training.
Oh, did he? Brilliant. Did he try and back into his defender and try and win a cheap free kick and fall on the ball with his hands on it by any chance? I mean,
he picked the ball and curled it into the top corner. It was actually
a great goal. Well,
but I was tempted to do quote tweet and just say, anyone can do it in training.
Easy, Paul, innit, mate?
But
I mean, if we could, you know, you've got to look at, I can't see where he fits in the way we're playing at the minute at all. I mean, and he's on decent money by all accounts. If we could ship him out, you know, I don't think anyone's going to pay the wages he's on here to take him. He's out of contract in the summer, though, isn't he? Is he?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, thank God for that. Again, not on personal, I don't see what he adds to this team, certainly not right now. It's quite a big squad, isn't it? And you're thinking, we've got Reece Hughes out on loan. He's doing really well, actually, by the way, at Curzon Ashton. He scored an absolute screamer the other day, and he put a brilliant ball league back from 2-0 down to win. And they won again the other day. I think it was Southport, I think, as well. You'd think, you know, young Sam Taylor, would you send him out on loan, maybe? Conference, National League? Get him some games? With the proviso, obviously, that we can recall him, much like we did with Charlie maybe last season. You know, get him out, get him playing 90 minutes week in, week out.
I think that's beneficial.
Although with Aftergon,
I think with the National League, I think they can still do month-to-month loans.
Oh, like, of course, below the Football League.
I think I'm right in saying. So, you know, give a month, 2 months, you know, a Southport or a Chester or whatever, get him some matches under his belt. And we saw what it did to Charlie Jolly, as you said, to come back fresh and firing and confident. So that could be a good thing. I don't think there's too much needed, to be honest.
No, it's weird, isn't it?
Stupid saying when we were saying we were so dreadful 2 months ago. maybe a fullback.
Yeah, but then
Dan Pike.
I'd extend
his
Pike till
is up.
I'd extend
it. I'd be looking at somebody better than him, to be honest. But
nobody can fit in anywhere, is the thing.
Yeah,
isn't
true.
He can play anywhere along the back line. He can even do centre half if need be, can't he?
Yeah.
The two Sheffield United lads are out as well, aren't they?
Yeah, we've obviously not seen them too much, so I can't really comment on whether we should keep them or not. But, you know, they add to a big squad, and with us not being in cup competitions now.
They take up loan spaces too.
Yeah, I'd say probably lighten the squad a little bit. But obviously, you still want your options to come off the bench. But I think we could probably shift 2 or 3 out.
Do we need a striker, Paul, with Norris? I mean, you know, by all accounts, he ain't going to be back on the pitch till end of Feb, March. Mm. You know, Dennis, I think, is back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are short, aren't we, of, you know, that type of player. I mean, yeah. Jennings and Saunders have done brilliantly over the last couple of weeks, but, you know, again, you're just that one knock away, aren't you?
Yeah, thing is you bring someone in and then they come back and then you've got too many.
Yeah.
Or you bring someone in, they get a knock and you're back to square one.
it's very difficult, isn't it?
It's a tricky one.
I think there's definitely going to be some ins and outs.
Be tempted to bring a forward player in to play in one of those, you know, either a 10 or a 9. But it wouldn't be high on my agenda if I was head of recruitment.
You're thinking more of get a younger lad in from like a championship Prem side?
But like you say, we've got like Sam Taylor. We can get him some games and get him. You're firing, you've got Reece Hughes to come back in. I don't think we're too short, to be honest.
No, I don't think we are.
And obviously, if somebody
touch wood
really good comes available and is within the price range and wants to come, then great. But I don't think it needs too much tweaking.
That, again, all being well injury-wise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I say, 2 or 3 out, maybe 1 or 2 in. But I don't think it particularly needs tinkering with too much. And I think that's the problems that we've had over the last however many years it's been.
Wholesale changes.
3 or 4 years. You know, too many changes coming in January, too many changes over the summer. You don't get that cohesion. And at the moment, we've got a nice, cohesive, confident, tight-knit group who seemingly want to play for the club and it's all going well, so I wouldn't want to break that up.
Don't disturb the harmony.
Bringing players just for the sake of bringing players in, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we've got, Paul, the next couple of months, we haven't got a midweek game until the middle of February, 13th of February. So all we've got is literally Saturday games, you know, so 4 weeks to recover. So You look at the fixtures we've got. Obviously, we've got Barrow on Saturday. Then we've got MK Dons at home on the 13th. Then we go to Swindon on the 20th. And then we finish the month away at Grimsby. So 3 aways. That's, you know, that is a tough month, isn't it? 3 aways, 1 home. But again, you look at them games and, you know, if we can just keep this momentum going, then we've got Crewe at home, first game in Feb, and they're, you know, they're up there, aren't they, this year? And they're always a tricky side to play against Crewe. You look at those games there, you know, Barrow and Saturday, that's a real tough, tough one. Swindon away, MK Dons at home, and what was it, Grimsby away. Yeah, if we can take 9 points out of them 4 games, keep the momentum going. That's all it is now, really, isn't it? Is you want to try and keep this momentum going for as long as we can. And at some point soon, maybe even Saturday, we are going to get beat. And you need to very quickly bounce back from that defeat, don't you? Like we did after the Walsall defeat. And we bounced back and we've won our next 4. But when you're on a run like this, 4 wins on the bounce, if you can just keep that going, isn't it? It's massive. It's like when we did that 7-game winning streak and, you know, that got us up into the playoffs. At the end of the 2018-19 season, and eventually, you know, ended up getting us promoted. Keep this momentum going. And again, don't want to keep going back to the absolute thing, but you just got to hope that what him going back doesn't have, it's going to have a bit of an effect, but I'm convinced that he's going to be more gutted right now than our squad is. Our squad is flying at the minute in training on the pitch, and they're going to be, they won't be able to wait to get on that pitch at Ballo on Saturday. So, yeah, it's interesting times. We just got to hope now. You know, there's, what, 25 days left of this month. A lot of things can go on. You just got to hope that as soon, you know, sooner rather than later. It's the thing with the after thing, though. The, whatever's going to get done, you'd rather it got done soon, wouldn't you? You don't want to be, I don't want them coming back to us on the 31st of Jan. Like, you know, Andy Cook and James Vaughan on loan, like in 2019. You want a, can we get this deal done, however it is going to be done? With him as soon as possible, Blackpool. Because if not, okay, fine. We'll move on. We'll try and get someone else. That Charlie Kirk, maybe, who's been released from Charlton. He's worked on the Dragons before. Or you have someone else, another young winger from somewhere else, similar. You know, try and get. And again, I know it's out of our hands because it's Blackpool ultimately who hold the cards here. But you don't want to be hanging on. And you know, I genuinely think something's going to happen. I do. Touch wood. I think something will happen because it's in the best interest of all parties, I think, realistically, isn't it? For him to come back here and finish what he started and, you know, hopefully help us kick on second half of the season. But things are certainly looking up a lot more than they were last time we were on this pod about six, seven weeks ago, was it, Paul? November we last did one, didn't we?
Yeah, early to mid-November, yeah.
Yeah, things are certainly looking up a lot more. So then, Paul, what are you saying then? I know we don't like doing that. We've been horrendously incorrect on these predictions in the past.
Well, you say that, but we're sitting around about where we predicted where we were going to finish at the start of the season.
Ah.
So, you know, we're not doing too bad. from where Adkins took over as a caretaker to where we are now is, as you said, night and day.
Yeah.
It's whether you can keep that momentum going. And I'm more than confident that we're going to stay up first and foremost.
Yeah, I mean, it's mental. That was, wasn't it, the main concern we had?
Yeah. So I think that worry is out of the way, and
thank God for that.
I think, you know, another 10 points and we'll be safe.
That is really, like we joke about that, but that has to be, doesn't it? The from the positions we found ourselves in, that has to be the first thing that we try and sort. Yeah.
So the target number one when Dawes was sacked, that's, I'm fairly sure. God, I'm loath to say this, that we're going to stay up.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah. I really hope I'm not jinxing us there. Anyway,
so do I.
So,
yes, scum.
Feel free to edit it out. We obviously we are looking up the table, and, you know, the more wins we're putting together, the higher you start looking. Playoffs, maybe it's a big shout, but if we could finish top half after the start to the season that we had,
be great, wouldn't it?
First 3 months, which were complete write off. Let's be honest,
we were bottom. We were bottom in November, were we, at one point, I think, or certainly October. We were bottom.
Start of November, we must have been. I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, top half.
Yeah, if we could finish top half, that would be. That would be a good achievement, and hopefully something to build on for next season. Obviously, now Adkins is signed until, what, 2026, is it? 27?
Yeah, he signed I think 3.5, was it, year thing or two? Yeah. Certainly, he's there for the foreseeable.
Yeah, so, you know, something for him to build on, and, you know, I'm sure there's a few players within the squad that we would look to tie down to longer term deals if we could, but yeah, gives you something to build on, a bit of positive momentum going forward.
Let's say top half, Paul.
What's been lacking, hasn't it? Really,
we've been
bringing players in, and it's been a sort of steady downward spiral. Let's be honest. Over the last, since we got demoted,
Just noticed.
Obviously, we had that playoff season, which barely a playoff season under Hill. But you know, it's been gradually going down. Now we're starting to pick back up a bit. And yeah, the playoffs aren't a massive number of points away, but I do think it's a bit of a long shot. But
yeah, you know, it is. It's not realistic.
If they made the playoffs, Nigel Adkins, I mean, build the statue then, because it would be an incredible achievement. Even if we didn't go up, it would be amazing from the position we found ourselves 2 months ago. So, yeah, everything's looking more positive, which is great. I know a lot of fans are getting carried away, and you know, rightly so.
No, Tranmere fans get carried away.
Enjoy the good times, but with my realistic hat on, I'm going to say if we could finish 12th, that would be a very good season, considering the first 3 or 4 months.
Well, we should probably finish this off, Paul, with something we teased at the end of the last one.
Yeah, so about the one before that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just what, you know, like your departure from the club. Obviously, you know, you had to sign the NDA, didn't you? and the whole palaver about, like, you know.
You read all about it in my book.
I look forward to that. Three chapters. It seems such a long time ago now, doesn't it? But like, we started this podcast in the summer of 2016.
Yeah,
and the very first ever episode was teammates with Steve McNulty.
Yeah.
And
look at us now.
Oh, God. Yeah. Have we fallen this far? We that season, the first season, it was one that ended with the, you know, we pushed Lincoln all the way and we lost out in the playoff finals, Forest Green. But, you know, from the start of our podcast, we started doing those live shows every Wednesday at 6 o'clock on Mixlr, yeah. The audio shows. Again, this was all done off our own backs with no money from the club. Not that we ever asked for any, do you know what I mean? But we took the own initiative. We did live commentaries on the FA Trophy games where there was no rights issues. You know, and again, you know, I've seen quite a few people. There's a lot of people complaining about the iFollow commentary situation at the minute. You know, it's not for us to comment on. Do you know what I mean? But we know it's not an easy job to do co-coms and co-coms as well. The thing was, when we were doing them, Paul, was there was still the actual official one, wasn't there? So we were the alternative. So we were able to be a bit more, you know, unprofessional, shall I say? A bit more wacky. I'll have to find that video of the I edited together the highlights of the Barrow game. That really, you know, how did we not get picked up by Sky or, you know, TNT Sports at the time for that fantastic, you know, me, you, and Jake Keogh and Ben Tollett won it. Shambles of a commentary team. So, you know, we finished that season, didn't we? You know, we even did that the last live show of the season. We had fans come in, didn't we? And Misha Parry came in, Andy Holmes, I think. We had a little party. I bought some Cherryade and some cakes and party hats. The week after we lost the playoff final, we had a party. And, you know, they were good. And for the size of the club and, you know, what we were doing, those live shows. We had that absolute shambles of a futsal draw using the things that Kinder Eggs come in. And who was it was doing it? And we drew the same team out 3 times. Yeah. You drew the same team out to play themselves. That's on video somewhere, isn't it? Because we did that. What was the streaming thing on Twitter?
Periscope.
Oh, you've got to, Paul, I don't know how, but you've got to try and go back through and find that video. Because it was a shambles, wasn't it?
It was a complete and utter shambles.
I called it out at the time. That was it. I watched rounds of it there and then. I think on the thing, I went, I've got nothing to do with this. I want nothing to do with this draw. Yeah, we were getting, you know, like 100, it ranged, but I think it was like 100 to 200 listeners per week live. You know, my mum used to ring in, Tash used to ring in, and it was good. And then we went away for the season, didn't we? We went away for the summer. We were like, right, we're going to come back. And the plan was to carry them on, wasn't it? And then kick on and do some more. We even were looking at doing like a live one, weren't we, in the tent at one point? And I remember you sent a message, Paul, got just going, oh, and you never really told us the full extent until after, but you were like, look, because we were like, we'll come back and we want to do Andy Mangan, didn't we? We want to do another teammate. Well, Andy Mangan will be, you know, he's mental. And you went, look, we've got to keep it to under half an hour. And I was like, what? Under half an hour? And you were like, and then.
I'm asking you to talk for less than half an hour is not.
Not going to happen. I've got a lot to say. I've got a lot to say. Me and Andy Mangan, for less than half an hour, don't think it's going to happen. It was, you'd been told by, and again, we're not, there was people had come in, friends of, you know, the higher-ups, and for some reason would be given carte blanche to push people around and tell people what to do. And but Paul, did they know that they, you know, it was, it might have been the official Tranmere podcast, but we ran it. The club didn't pay a penny to us. We'd never been paid for it. We'd paid for all the equipment ourselves. We paid for the hosting subscription things. So, like, in a way, it was like, well, with all due respect, you've got no authority over what we do here. So I remember when you said that to me half hour, I just went, fucking no chance, mate. I went, what are you going to do, fire me? What are you going to do? I think that was, I used that classic phrase. I went, what are you going to do, fire me? I don't even work here. But, you know, it was very, you know, Jake had left at that point as well. I knew he wasn't working for the club anymore. It was just you, but, and you were being put upon. And this is, I don't know if you've ever said this before, but the day before the opening game, it was a way to talk, wasn't it? They said to you, they went, there's going to be no commentary. Because you were doing the commentaries on Mixlr, weren't you? Live commentaries. Because Radio Merseyside had pulled out.
Yeah.
And so they said the day before the season, the Torquay away in August 2017, they said, that's it, no more commentaries. There's no more commentaries. And you took it upon yourself. I remember you said, you went, can you get me the equipment? You went, can you come and drop the equipment off, the podcast equipment? And I was like, what? In that little backpack, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was my dad's little backpack, the red one, red Timberland backpack. And I went, why? You went, I'm not having this. You said, if there's no commentary, there's no way for people to, and this was, you know, there was no iFollow. There would have been no way to listen to anything. You know, it would have been, and here's the thing, you were doing all the Twitter updates yourself, weren't you? All the updates was you. And so you took it yourself.
I had to apologise for going quiet because I was tweeting and.
Yeah, exactly. Something would happen and you'd have to type out the thing and it would go, the Twitter was linked to the Facebook. So all the socials, and you took it down and you did it. You didn't have a co-coms, did you, for the first few games? I don't think. So you were literally setting up all the gear, you were doing all the social media, the team news, everything like that yourself, and then you were commentating on your own on the Mixlr that we'd paid for, the mics, the mixer, the headphones, the Mixlr subscription, the Wi-Fi dongle that we were having to use because there was never any Wi-Fi, the 4G EE Wi-Fi dongle, all that was like, and you commentated on your own for those games so that we had something to listen to. Mental, Paul, after being told the day before, there's no commentary, there's not going to be anything, don't do it. And you went and did it. And we went and did the podcast with Andy Mangan. We went and did the podcast with Andy Mangan. Aaron, 20 minutes.
Sorry, Matt.
Go on.
If I could just sort of jump in just before we get into the what we did anyway. Fucking. The message was basically, if it doesn't make any money, it's pointless.
That was it, wasn't it? Yeah. That was what you were told.
Despite the fact that, you know, all these engagement was largely positive, I think.
Yeah.
A lot of people liked what we were doing. We had great numbers on the podcast. We had great numbers on the lives. To think that 200 people listened to us rabbiting on live for an hour on a Wednesday night at tea time is just insane, really, looking back. And then, obviously, we put them out as podcasts. And so, you know, thousands of people listen to those shows, which is crazy.
Well, when you think, Paul, we said at the time, our average attendance was, 5,000-6,000. If you're getting 200 people listening live, we were like, as a percentage of the fan base, that's an insane number at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday. And like you said, they do a couple of thousand listens after. You're like, you're reaching a real high percentage of your fan base here. And, you know, the messages we got, people loved it. They said, felt connected us with the club. And I remember when you said that, sent us the message, you said, what's the point of it if it's not making money? What's the point? I'd have to go back through the messages. I remember saying, like, get me a meeting with these people now. I want to speak to them. And you were like, no, honestly, it's not worth it. I was like, listen, who do these people think they are? Again, we won't name because there's no point, is there? Like, but these people, they didn't last long at the club, did they, put it that way? They weren't there for long, and they had they had some harebrained scheme, didn't they?
But I think the engagement is massive.
Yeah.
And I think having, you know, doing what I'm doing now, which is, you know, unrelated to sport, but just engaging with people in a positive way, which is what we were doing, and providing a service, and, you know, speaking to fans like we are doing now, you know, and letting them, sending the messages, and it was live and it was interactive and it felt really nice.
There was no other club, there was no other club, Paul, in the National League doing something like that at the time. Look at it now.
I don't think there's any clubs in the Football League who do like a live, you know, like a live radio show.
I mean, we were looking at the Paul, I remember that summer. We were genuinely looking at expanding to doing it on video at some point, weren't we?
Yeah. We were
going to try and do it on that, and then we got told all that bollocks, bullshit. And it sort of put us on a bit. We went, what's the fucking point then? What's the point of doing this? And we were going to, the plan was, I remember initially, we'll just break away and do it unofficial, which is what we became. But then, because if you look back, we did the Andy Mangan one, and then we started the season really badly, which didn't help. We didn't do much. I think we might have done one more. Because I think they even said we weren't even allowed to go do in the club for a bit. Because I don't think we did that one at the campus. And then I don't think we came in until just before. Did we do one? We did a Christmas one. Because then I remember then, because second half of the season we were coming in. That's when we were recording them in increasingly mad places in the stadium. We were in like, you know, the one near the boardroom, weren't we? It was that one where we got moved around three times because someone was showing a client around. We ended up doing the playoff semi-final one, the best one, in the bloody changing room treatment thing. I've got a photo of Jake Keogh laying on the treatment table with a mic in his hand. That was like the week of the Boreham-Mug game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And as soon as we never went back to doing the live ones, though. We never did we? And,
no.
You know, maybe we could have, maybe we should have, but, like, you know, it's hard, isn't it? I'm sure these days there might be a way to do something like that. Do you know what I mean? But it was just the way that you, it was more, Paul, it was the way, forget, like, me, you and Jake and us as a podcast getting told this stuff. That thing, when they went, what's the point if it doesn't make money? They went, the commentaries don't make money. The podcast doesn't make money. And I wanted to go, hang on a minute. We're paying for this ourselves. What are you saying? Look at the people who like it. Look at the tweets. Look at the people who actually enjoy it. It's not all about money, mate. It's not about the bottom line. It's not costing the club any money. I was so annoyed at the time, Paul. I wanted to fight someone. I wanted to go in and smash up the office and go, who do you think you're talking to, mate? The thing as well, Paul, the amount of money I'd put in of my own pocket because I wanted it to be good and I loved doing the podcasts. Yeah. I felt like going, you know, and they remember, they hadn't paid me for We Were Alive either because of the fiasco and the guy getting sacked. But I wanted to go. I was like, you cheeky, you know what I mean? Can you imagine how I felt? I was like, who do you think you are? And then those two divvies coming in, thinking with their stupid, like, performance thing that they were trying to push on the club. Oh, I hope you get better players in. What was it called? You remember what it was called? What was it?
Global Coach.
Global Coach. Fuck that, mate. That's done well, hasn't it? You, honestly, mate. They can, do you know what? I'm going to use a Mickeyism. Get a fuck, the pair of them. I don't know what they're doing now, but they can fuck off. I'm just as angry now, Paul, these people. Done me head in. What were they doing at our football club? You know, there's me and you paying out our pocket. You know, I bought a bloody MacBook to do them live ones, remember? Because we didn't have a decent little computer. I bought a little MacBook Air. So I was like, it needs to be portable because it was, you know, I had that little tiny bag, didn't I? It was like, we can take this bag, we can podcast anywhere. That was the beauty of it.
Mm.
And the main thing, Paul, forget about what I felt like. After everything you did, like, you know, you look at the social media, there's like a team there now, aren't there? And they do brilliant work again. You know, look at Rob McNee now with Bolton's amazing, the stuff. But, and what the, I forget, I don't know who it is
all
now.
All the places to move to.
I know, I said that too when done. I went, you rat. But the whole thing is now, and the people who do it now are brilliant. But, you know, you walked so they could run. The stuff that you did with no money, no equipment, and having to do a million things at once. Like, they'll never understand. You, like, we would have had that season, the season we got promoted back into the Football League, probably our most famous season, you know, other than the glory days, when you look back at it. there would have been no commentary. There's no way for us to listen to it if you hadn't have taken it upon yourself to do it yourself and go the day before talk, you ring me and go, can I come and get the equipment? And I was like, yeah, why? And you're like, I'm just going to do it myself. I think you even said you want to come with me. I was like, Torquay. And I was like, how long is it? And I was like, no, thanks. Not a chance. I was like, I was in work as well on the Saturday, so I couldn't do it. But then, you know, you ended up getting, didn't you? You had co-coms come and do it with you that season. Yeah. My favourite one that year, Paul, is still the, what was the 3-2 game after? Was it Maidstone?
Oh, God, yeah. That didn't have a voice.
I think that was the last one you did, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you were like, I'm sorry I'm losing my voice, I'm sorry I'm not making any sense. We just got beat by Macclesfield in midweek, and we got turned over that 4-1. We were 2-1 down, and we were a disgrace in that game by all accounts, weren't we? And he got an own goal, and then Bucco scored a pen, two late goals, wasn't it? And then that was it, we went on that run and got up at the playoffs. Who took over? Did Thingy start doing it? Derek Jones?
No, that's when Sid and Phil Wilkinson came in.
Oh, so they started doing it?
Because we were radio folded.
Oh, so they became available?
So they took over. Which, again, was done behind my back. But, I have really good friends with Sid and Phil, but the way it was done was, well...
Mad, innit, mate? This football club.
Yeah.
I'll say to anyone, mate, don't ever go and, like, you know, the things we've all done, and you more than anyone, Paul, and the way you were treated. I remember what you when you, you know, you resigned after on high after the Bournemouth game, and they put adverts out for two separate job roles for the jobs you've been doing yourself, both on individually more money than you were getting paid at the time. And it was like... Yeah. It was like, you, honest to God, mate. Like, I just
tempted to reapply, but
can you apply for two different roles? It's mental. Like, it's just, you've got to treat people better. You know what I mean? You know, the club are fine at the minute on the pitch and that, and you know, things are looking better. But it, you know, there's been some horrendously bad done things off the pitch. How people have been treated who worked at the club, and it's just not. You know how you were treated, Paul, has pissed me off for years. And I'm so glad that you resigned. I went, see you later. Do you know what I mean? Because, yeah. And do you know what the one thing, they let us keep the handle, the Twitter handle, didn't they, and stuff like that. You know, they could have been divvies and dickheads about that.
Yeah, but they couldn't really.
Well, no, they couldn't because we owned it and we paid for it and we had all the logins. So, you know, all we had to do was take off the official Tranmere thing, didn't we? We didn't have to do anything else. There's more as well. There's a lot more we haven't even touched on there, but that's the crux of it. That we were basically told to shut down Everton because it didn't make money. Didn't make money.
It still doesn't.
It's the one thing we don't make at this pod, is it? Like, Jesus. But did you what? Got to thank, we had the sponsor, didn't we, during the COVID years?
Yeah.
And then we've had the people.
Club.
Yeah. They funded the sub costs. We luckily haven't had to buy any new equipment for a good couple of years. All the stuff, you know, I've still got all the stuff to do the live pods as well. You know, that's just sitting in the same backpack, just, you know, waiting for Torquay away again, Paul. Maybe we should people keep saying that they want new commentators. Maybe me and you should throw our names in the hat, Paul, the old team back together, see if we can do one game. And very quickly people will be like, no, all the criticism of the current team is unfounded. I'll dig out that video somewhere. It's like a 6-minute video of us doing the Biro game and the
It's on the club YouTube.
No, I don't think you put the commentary one on.
No,
I
did, yeah.
Did you actually? I swear you did. I swear you only put the one with no commentary on.
I did put one with commentary on here. Wasn't the same video.
Let me check. I think I've got it on my YouTube, you know.
Because there was a clip where I was telling you to talk.
Yeah, because, you had talk. And I went, because we were just...
Well,
yeah, it was just a scrap, Paul. It was a goal mark. I've got, here we are. It's on my YouTube, Tranmere 5, Barrow 1 commentary. Right, let me just see if it's it's still there, baby. I'll try and I think
how
I posted.
Years has it had?
Well, it was private for years because I was worried. You know, it's match footage, so I was like, it might get taken down. So I've just made it public. Right. I only uploaded it 2 years ago, which is a bit weird. I tell you what, though, I've got.
It's going to get taken down soon.
Yeah, but a copyright strike by you. I think I put it on Twitter at the time. So I'll do what I'll try and dig out. You have to. I'll have to be very. If I type in like my name and like Barrow and like commentary, it'll probably bring up the tweet, won't it? So I'll retweet. Yeah, and then I can like I can quote tweet it, and you can quote tweet it on the This Is Tranmere pod. But yeah, that's just one of many. Probably not as exciting a story, but it's not a big expose. It's not the Epstein files, is it? I was saying that, Paul. I've been checking through the documents.
A bit like the COVID inquiry.
Sounds
really important, but it.
Nothing to see here.
Just bored.
Your name hasn't come up yet in the Epstein files, has it, Paul?
I hope not.
I was just thinking, you know, Callum Hudson-Odoi's on it. where's PH? You know, Hollywood Harper, the people you hang around with. You know, Leonardo DiCaprio. You know, you were good friends with Stephen Hawking, weren't you? No comment. Not on say, have you? You'll incriminate yourself.
No, I was gonna say something very inappropriate. I'm not gonna say.
No wonder they want to shut the podcast down in 2017. Yeah, you've never been to Epstein Island, have you? You've been to Hilbury Island.
I've been to Hilbury Island. Yeah,
bloody lovely, isn't it?
Get me
a private jet to Hilbury Island. So we don't have to. me and Nick Roberts went there in the summer, you know, and I slipped over. He took us like round the back because he wanted to go to the sea, but then we realized the sea was too far out. But by then, we were on like the super slippy rocks, and I was like, "There's no way back without going back over them." And I was like, "I was like so close to slipping a few times," and then I just slipped and like slipped right bang on my knee and like my head. I was like, "For fuck's sake!" Nice place though, lovely. Everyone should go out to Midline Hilbury Island a couple of times a year. Not this time of year, obviously, but certainly in the summer. Oh, Paul, should we wrap this up? Tash is about to come
before Barrow.
Yeah, before we kick off.
Yeah, before we beat Barrow.
I've just realised that, the commentary was a Barrow game, so it all ties in, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's almost like we know what we're doing.
And I think, I'm not entirely sure, but I'm pretty sure it was the third, maybe the second weekend of January when Istan Barrow happened.
Yeah, they posted it. It was... It was like this day. Yeah, they posted it. Yeah, I think it was yesterday.
Yeah, like 6 years ago or whatever it was.
Yeah, January 2016, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Paul, that's 8 years ago.
God.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That was a long day.
It was a long 8 years for me.
Another story for another day.
Good old days. The good old days with our luminous yellow Home Bargains feeler kit.
Yeah, yeah. Carbrini it was.
Oh, yeah. Owned by Fila. Same thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Shite. Right then, I need to go and take our Christmas decorations down just to bring more depression. You know, what a depressing day. Ugh, speaking to you and then taking the Christmas decks down, Paul.
Yeah, it doesn't get much worse, does it?
God. On the plus side, that little retro game handheld I got, I've got PSP games working on it now, Paul. Anyone else?
Fun.
Yeah, yeah. Pro Evo I was playing last night in work when it was quiet to start. They're playing Pro Evo 6. Like, come on, Grand Theft Auto, Vice City Stories, brilliant. So that's the end of the Retro Game podcast. Paul Harper's Retro Game podcast.
We've been very retro today.
Oh, well, I wish it was 2016. Wish it was 1998, to be honest. The good old days. Who are we getting in on loan? Get Liam O'Brien in from Newcastle. Oh, God. Well, do you know what? We'll have to, we didn't touch on that, but like maybe put a one out, Paul. A clickbait one. Who's your favourite ever? Not Rob Apter, but who's your favourite ever Tranmere loanee? My one that I had in my head, Ian Anderson, I loved.
Right.
He's a winger one we had on loan for like about 3 months. Ray Mathias season.
Paul Hall, had a good...
And then we went on to sign him, yeah?
Yeah.
Robbie Apter. Alan Navarro was another one for me. We then got a career-ending injury, didn't he? Brilliant.
One from left field, he wasn't... with us long. one who I really, really, really liked. Go Tony on. Grant.
I was honestly thinking of him. Brilliant.
Tony Grant.
He helped us turn around that season. Yeah,
class act to me. It was only on loan a month, but...
He got us back. He got, I remember that 2-0.
Really, really good player.
We had a 2-0 win away at Crewe on a Sunday. The Chief scored two, and he ran the show that day. Yeah, Phil Babb, there's another one. Who the hell does Paul Harper think he is hanging up on me in the middle of a bog?
you mentioned two words, Phil and Babb.
And that was enough for you?
And I was choking on my water.
Absolutely.
I was trying to press mute.
I've got...
I accidentally hung up.
Right, Paul. I've got three words for you. Subhuman scum. I can't wait till your name comes up on the Epstein file. Honestly. Finally some justice. They were right
this
to try
is why and, they didn't want the podcast to continue.
They were right to try and cancel us in 2017. The truth will come out. I tried to do a wrap-up then, Paul, but the problem was when you hung really up, it stopped the recording.
I know, I'm so sorry.
So my wry observations won't have been recorded, unfortunately.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I made some good ones as well. Right then, shall we wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up.
If you want to buy us a coffee, it's in our link, in our bio, isn't it?
No, really, no. The subs have been paid.
Have they actually?
They've been covered. So, yeah.
Oh,
if you want to buy us a coffee, that'd be really nice. But don't feel the need to, because the subs fees have been covered, thankfully.
We'll give some money to the club to get the Robbie After fund then.
Yeah, if you think we're more deserving than the club, dude, buy us a coffee. But otherwise, don't bother.
Until we come begging for more money when the subscription comes up in July. Who knows where we'll be come July, Paul? Well, the socials, we are at This Is Tranmere on everything, aren't we, really? Mainly we use the Twitter. Don't really use the Insta and that, do we, anymore? We're mainly a Twitter-based.
They try and use the Insta.
Yeah, but it's more, you know, the football discourse is better on Twitter, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'll try and dig out the Tranmere 5 Barrow 1 commentary from 2017. Paul, try and find that shambles of a futsal cup draw somehow. That, I don't know.
Pegasus Cope's still a thing.
Is it? I don't know.
I think it is.
I tried to find a Vine video the other day and eventually managed to find it somehow.
Okay.
Everything's still there somewhere. I might have to go on the Wayback Machine or something, but you know. Yeah. Or at least I'll try and find the audio because we do it.
Maybe we can find it.
Was it on the podcast?
Thank
or
you
was
very
it?
Much for listening, everyone. Yeah. Really do appreciate it. Again, apologies. Excuse me. Apologies that we weren't as active as we'd hoped over the last couple of months. Just been really, really busy.
It's only been 6 weeks since the last one. You know, it was Christmas. We were going to do one pre-Christmas.
We did want to do it before Christmas, but it's just been so chaotic and busy and stuff. And Matt Jones is doing a sterling job in keeping everybody up to date on the trip to the moon and stuff. So
when are we having a fight?
Something a little bit different.
When are we having a fight with them, by the way?
Yeah, could be arranged.
Yeah, I think that's. I thought that's what we were going to do because there's only room for one. A couple of others as well, aren't there out there? Apparently, I think.
Yeah.
A couple of others. The more, the merrier.
What's his name? Ethan Hoyord.
Yeah.
I hope I'm saying that right.
Yeah, I forget the name of it though. One. But give him a little. Go on his Twitter. I don't know about you, Paul, but I. There's almost too many podcasts for me now. Not Tranmere ones, but I mean just in general. Like I struggle to keep up with my weekly podcast now. Like football cliches, you've got me Wrestling Observer ones. Then I've got like football weekly, more stuff like that. It's hard work, isn't it? Hard work. Just listening to podcast lark, isn't it?
It's basically my commute is listening to the weekly podcast.
Anytime I'm doing any sort of pottering around the house, podcasts on. I'm out on my bike, podcasts on. You know, on the exercise bike. Anytime, you know, literally in it. Not this one. Wouldn't listen to this. Wouldn't listen if you pay me. No disrespect. Listen to my bits, but not, you know, I do a private edit, Paul, where I mute out your bits. Like a copyright strike. So it's just me. Listen to myself speaking.
Right.
Yeah, I just go. Put my Christmas decorations away. Brilliant. Try and find the Barrow commentary from 8 years ago. Oh, it's only seven. That one, I see, so 7 years ago. Yeah, that's a big stretch. I don't know where the cat is. She's interrupted me three times. I don't know where the other cat is. He's an idiot. He's like the Harvey Saunders of cats, Rodney. Came in just with a big chunk of fur and missing off his back the other day. I got a perfect square. Do you remember that Father Ted's got that perfect square of dirt on his window? He's just got a big, just perfect square chunk of hair gone, completely bald. What's happened? Unless someone's just gone with a thing on him. Idiot. Anyway, yeah, what the fuck can stand me?
See why, aren't we?